welcome to another edition of The Blank Canvas. You're listening to Guardian Radio 96.9. I'm your host, or I should say I'm your guest host today, John Cox. I'm sitting in for Amanda Coulson and Holly Bino. I've been given the opportunity to kind of come back to my old seat when I originally hosted this show many moons ago. So I'm very honored that they would have given me this opportunity to be here again. I'm very happy. This show is near and dear to my heart, as I was one of the first people to host it, or maybe the first person to host it, and I think it really has evolved into something that's become quite special and quite central to the art community. As you all know, this show is a platform where we can discuss about creative issues and talk about the visual art culture in the Bahamas and discuss projects and ideas that are new and fresh to us all and challenge us all at the same time. I'm particularly happy to have a special guest in the show or on the show today with me. I'm kind of hosting the show for a unique reason, something I'm quite excited about. There's an exhibition coming up at the National Gallery. It's called The Unseen Structure, and it's an exhibition that takes a look at the work of George Victor Cox, who happens to be my father, who is sitting in the studio with me. Say hello, Dad.
Hello.
a little awkward moment here in the studio. But my father is a civil and structural engineer and was among the first Bahamians to take on this profession many, many decades ago. And I am curating an exhibition or a project, if you want to call it that, that kind of takes a look at his work, and I'm responding to his work through an installation that I am creating for one of the gallery spaces at the National Art Gallery. So I'm very excited to be here to discuss his history and also to take a quicker or deeper look into select projects that he's worked on, and to talk a little bit about the bones of the exhibition itself, the bones of the project. So for the first segment, I want to discuss a little bit about the history of George Victor Cox. So as it relates to his engineering career, but also just as it relates to him as a Bahamian citizen, somebody who's helped shape the landscape, literally, of the country, and also paved the way for many, many people who are in the engineering profession today, whether it be civil or structural or mechanical or, you know, electrical. I think all these guys hail my father as one of the original chiefs of this profession, and that's something that I'm quite proud of, and I think that that legacy should not go unheard of. So, Dad, when did you know you wanted to become an engineer?
John, that's a good question. I don't know. I can think back that far.
I'll give it a shot.
Well, my father was a land surveyor.
Right.
Which is a very closely aligned with civil engineering. So
right.
I guess I was, I grew up with that, living with a surveyor, so I used to see him with all his instruments and his...
Right.
I think once or twice he took me in the field with him, but I wasn't too impressed with what he did. It was so hot and out in the bush, you know, but...
Right.
He was a very technical man. I remember I used to go in his study quite often, and I would see his notes and his very fine, precise writing, you know?
Right.
And I used to... No, he did a lot of work in the islands, family islands.
Right.
And he, I remember he had this big chest, wooden chest, where he carried all his tools, his instruments and chains
right.
and measuring, measuring tapes and all that.
Right. So you think that might have had some kind of subconscious or maybe just conscious influence on your interest in civil engineering? Was it, I know a lot of people will go into their profession because they had a teacher that really moved them, or they had an experience, or, you know, some kind of mentor that you think that he kind of held that role for you?
Yes, possibly, maybe subconsciously.
Yeah.
But I was always good at math and physics. Well, we didn't do physics in school, but math and, you know.
So you were also a part, when you talk about being good in school, so you were a part of this original construct in this country, the government high school, right?
That's right.
Which was quite a competitive program to get into, right? Like,
yes.
Not just anybody could have gone to government high school. You really needed to be...
It was a very small school, and you had to pass an examination to get in.
Right. And so you were part of that. You passed this examination to get into government high school. So when do you think you, how old were you when you said, you know, I think I want to be an engineer?
Oh, I would have been out of high school at the time.
Okay.
Well, I guess I had the maybe genes for it.
Right.
I didn't think I wanted to be an engineer until I met Basil Smith, who was an engineer.
Right.
Who had been to McGill.
Right.
And he and I worked at the same company.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out that he had been to McGill, and I just started talking to him about that. And based on those discussions, I decided to go to McGill.
So you went to McGill University, which is in Montreal, and quite a few Bahamians went to McGill, correct?
Yes. I was the only... There were two Bahamians at that time. It was me and Dr. Stan Christie, I think. He did medicine, I think.
Okay. All right.
And
do you know if many Bahamians had gone to McGill prior to you?
No, I don't think... I think David Sims was there.
Right.
I think when I was there. But before that, as I know it, it was only Basil Smith and somebody... Stan Christie, I believe.
Right.
That I know of.
Right. Okay, well, that's...
Could have been some more.
That's good. So what was your experience studying engineering at McGill like? Was it a very rigorous program? I know when I was in art school, possibly the most rigorous major one could have studied would have been architecture. And so I'm thinking that engineering is kind of parallel to that. Was it very difficult?
Yeah, very rigorous, very strong on math and physics. You know?
Right.
So a lot of time, I shouldn't say time consuming, but a lot of hard work, you know?
Yeah. And so was Basil Smith, he had already passed through McGill?
Yes, he was already working up there as a surveyor, land surveyor, and an engineer.
Right.
Yeah.
So what is the difference between a land surveyor and a civil engineer?
Well, surveying is a profession which deals primarily with the measurement of land and conveyancing of land, and so they work a lot with lawyers and people who buy and sell land, you know.
Right.
But surveying is a part of civil engineering.
Okay.
You know, one aspect. We did 3 years of surveying courses in McGill.
Okay.
So I was well versed with that in my course. In fact, I got exempt from my first year, what they call survey school.
Right.
Because of all the experience I had before I went to McGill.
Oh, great. Okay, good. So for those people who don't know, so civil engineering is the big umbrella under which structural...
That's correct.
Yes. ..exists. And what else exists under civil? Is it structural? Is it... It's also this land surveying? Is there
municipal.
Municipal?
Dealing with water systems, sewer systems.
Right.
Docks and harbors.
Right.
But they all come under the umbrella of civil engineering.
Right. And so that's fast forward a little bit. So after you graduated from McGill, what year was that?
That was 1956.
Now, did you come home in 1956 or did you stay in Montreal?
I stayed over in Montreal for another 2 years, and I worked with a company called Shawinigan Engineering.
Okay.
And yeah, I worked on the design of hydroelectric power plants and concrete design for dams.
Mm-hmm.
That was very interesting. And I was there 2 years, then I decided I would come back home.
Okay. All right, so that would have been, so 19...
Montreal is very cold.
Yeah, I heard it's cold there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so when you got back, that would have been 1958?
Yes.
58. So when did you begin your own firm? Did you just start your firm
I worked with O'Brien Engineering.
Okay.
It's a firm I had worked with before I went to school.
Okay.
Went to McGill. And I worked with them for about 2 years. And they are primarily land surveyors. But I was more interested in structural engineering at the time.
Right.
So I formed my own. I left O'Brien in 1960.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to work. No, I started to work with a company called Bahama Gunite.
Okay.
And that was started by the two guys who owned Cavalier Construction, Eugene Pyfram and Tippy Lightbourne.
Okay.
They were associated with a man called Curzon Dobell.
All right.
Brilliant engineer, Canadian engineer. And he was the one who introduced pre-stressed concrete, I think, to the United States, I believe. So I got some experience working with them and building a lot of swimming pools and water retaining structures and whatnot.
Right.
And then I decided to branch out on my own, and that was in
1962, something like that.
1960, I think.
In the early 60s. Okay, so you did work with some other companies prior to you starting your own.
Yeah, O'Brien and Bahama Gunite.
All right. Okay. So we have three more minutes in this segment, but I just want to kind of keep this conversation going before we go to break. One of the things that is fascinating, you know, I want to kind of keep this conversation in context because we are talking about an exhibition that is coming up at the National Gallery, and it's called The Unseen Structure. So this is kind of a thread that I would like to run through the conversation for the show. And we kind of came up with this title because it's something that I think you said in a conversation candidly that most of what especially structural engineers do is unseen. Right, it's this kind of part of a project or part of our daily existence and routine that really nobody really realizes what engineers have done to kind of assist the day's activities to just roll along with great ease. Right.
Well, what I may have meant more was that the structural engineer is unseen in the building profession.
Right.
Normally, if you want a building built, a house design, or you go to an architect, right?
Right.
Like if you get in trouble, you want to do some legal work, you go to a lawyer, and you sit down one-on-one.
Right.
Talk to him, but very few people would come down and to see me and say, I want to build a building.
Right.
You know, I want to build a house. They normally go to an architect first.
Right.
Then the architect will normally come to us. That's the way it normally works, you see?
Right, right. I mean, that's very, very interesting, and I want to get to that a little bit later on and talk a little bit more about the kind of formal aspects of what of how these things get done. But so to go back to the start of your firm, just before we go to the break, when did you, so you would have opened your firm in the early 60s, and where was your first office?
I think I started in the late 50s, I think. My office was in Chippingham.
Okay.
I was married to Satella Dillett,
mm-hmm.
and her father had a big house, and they allowed me to use one of their rooms as my office. So that's where I started, actually.
Okay. I mean, and for those people who are out there, this I never even thought of this before, but so my father's engineering firm was originally housed in the same building that Pop-Up Studios is in now. It's yeah. actually quite I never even thought of that before, but that's who knew, what a coincidence. But I mean, I think that's a very kind of interesting overlap, right? So for how many years were you in that space?
I think about 3 years, two or three years
yeah. before you moved out.
Yeah,
right. And did you have other engineers working with you at that point, or you were pretty much alone?
No, I had a partnership with a British firm called Wallace Evans and Partners.
Wallace Evans and Partners. So what we're going to do right now, Dad, we're going to hold that thought, and we're going to wind up the first this first segment of the show. Just want to remind everybody that we're listening to Guardian Radio 96.9, and this is The Blank Canvas. I'm your guest host today, John Cox, and I'm sitting in with my father, George Victor Cox. We're talking about an upcoming exhibition at the National Art Gallery called The Unseen Structure, and we will be back right after this break.